This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Happy Friday evening to you. Hope you've had a good week. Mike Esposito in with you for the next hour or so. 8:05 is Cubs pregame as the Cubs are in Seattle taking on the Mariners. It's Jordan Wicks on the hill against Bryce Miller. Zach Sabeman will have your pregame, as I mentioned, right there at 8:05. The Cubs start the day a game and a half back. The Brewers are in first at 8-3 in the National League Central. The Cubs at 7-5 after they lost 2 of 3 in San Diego. And surely that first one stung, the game that they led 8-0 and ended up losing on the Tatis home run 9-8. But the Cubs 7-5 in the early going. Some good, some bad. We're going to talk about that with you over the next hour here at 312-644-6767 as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We will talk to our baseball insider, Bruce Levine, around 7:30, and we'll talk Cubs and Sox with him, mainly Cubs, though. The Sox are in action as we speak, and the Sox, a whole nother story. 2-10 as they get the season started. The second straight season, the White Sox have had a real struggle getting started. They trail the Reds 1-0 right now. But let's stick with the Cubs. Again, the Cubs open a big series in Seattle. The Mariners, if you're wondering, 5-8, a few games back behind Texas in the American League West. But certainly a winnable series for the Cubs. Jordan Wicks pitches tonight. And Craig Counsell, the Cubs skipper, was on with Parkins and Spiegel, which was actually Spiegel and Ant Heron today. So the Cubs skipper talking about the state of his team as we enter the end of the second full week here of what's going on. And really some interesting stuff. I mean, the Cubs offensively have done a lot of nice things. Michael Busch, I know, has come over and been a very nice addition. Some of your more name players like Cody Bellinger and Nico Hoerner struggling out of the gates. But one of the guys really doing a great job offensively, and we will couch this by saying offensively, is Christopher Morel. He's got that 35-40 home run a season power. We've seen it. We've seen what he brings to the lineup. He has struggled, though, on defense. The Cubs trying him at third base. And I know, listen, any Cub fan will tell you, and I am one of them, that there are certainly times when I think to myself, why is Christopher Morel playing third base? Well, let's hear it straight from the horse's mouth. Here's Craig Counsell earlier today on Parkins and Spiegel.
It was more my kind of opinion of Christopher, really, is just like from watching him and really it's just the way that his at-bats. I mean, I think I just thought more than anything his at-bats make you feel like we have to find a place for this guy to play. It's really important. And, you know, obviously there's multiple spots. He's played multiple spots. I think, you know, in the long run, like if we can – like I've said, if you can get a good third baseman out of this Christopher can turn into a good third baseman. It opens up a lot on the team. And it gives, you know, somebody like Jed, like some flexibility to kind of roster build in the future. And I think that's important. But I think, you know, just watching Chris swing the bat from across the way, like, we got to find a spot for this guy to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, this is measured over a long-term thing, not one play here and one play there. But, you know, I mean, Christopher's helping us win games, you know, and that can be done in several ways. And we'll just, the more we can get him over at third base, the more reps we can get him, the more confidence we can get him, the better. He had a nice series in San Diego. And so we'll build on that, and that gives him some confidence.
Was looking at the games where he gets replaced for Madrigal defensively. There's like five times that's happened, three at bats for Nick, one pinch hit for Garrett Cooper in there, two games in which like the lead happened to be lost by the time the spot came up. Does hindsight ever enter your mind at those moments, or can you not allow that as a manager to even think about it?
Yeah, I mean, does hindsight ever enter? Of course it does. I mean, of course we review our decisions. I don't, in those situations, I haven't thought twice about that. You know, I think I think we're using sound strategy there. There's another guy hitting that's got a chance to do some damage too. And we're putting a better defender in there. So you got to go with that. And I think, you know, that there's been some pitching issues in those games that we're talking about for sure. that we got to probably clean up more than that. Yeah. I mean, look, it's a trait of young players that they're going to swing at the slider. And then, you know, the players who make the adjustments, like, gradually get better at not swinging at the slider. It's not I think it's not me telling Christopher, don't swing at the slider out of the zone. That's not good enough. But it just, you find ways and with the hitting coaches to just recognize what are your mistakes. And as you see that pitch over and over again, you get a little better at it. And that's what's happening right now. I think Chris just is getting a little bit better at kind of recognizing that pitch because he's seen it more and he's seeing it more. And he gets a little better at laying off it. And that puts him in better count situations to do some damage.
So that was Craig Counsell this afternoon with Parkins and Spiegel talking about Christopher Morel, certainly one of the more intriguing players in all of Major League Baseball. Huge power, huge offensive ability, a guy that doesn't really have a position. The Cubs are trying to make third base his position. They're giving him every opportunity. Mixed results so far, but it's undeniable. And you heard Counsell's reasons there as to why they want him to have a position. I'd love to hear your opinion at 312-644-6767. Feel free to give us a call, shoot us a text. It's the same number. We're happy to get your opinion. Do you want to see Morel out there at third base? Would you rather just have him be the DH? And I get it with Craig Counsell talking about the flexibility. If he's only a DH, you know, and you don't have to go very far to think about this, even though he's injured, how many different times has Eloy Jimenez been tried in the outfield? That obviously has not worked, whether it was because ineffectiveness or injury. But when you have somebody who is only a DH, you obviously can't be as flexible as you'd like to be. If you have a guy like Christopher Morel is currently that you're going to start at third base and you can then also DH him, you can move other guys in. You have Nick Madrigal. You will eventually have Patrick Wisdom back when he comes back from injury. You have Michael Busch over at first base. You also have Garrett Cooper and Cody Bellinger who could play first base. There's all sorts of flexible things that Counsell can do with that. And you don't want to pigeonhole a young player like Christopher Morel, who's one of your best offensive players, as being a DH this early. Now, maybe he eventually becomes, and I'm going to go way back to Edgar Martinez, eventually you realize, you know what? He's not a third baseman. He's not an outfielder. He kind of just is a DH, but he's a great hitter. So we're going to keep him at DH and DH him every day. And you just deal with that as a baseball club because of what he brings offensively. We are by no means there yet. And that's what you just heard from Craig Counsell, is that he thinks it's worth a shot there to have Morel try to earn that spot at third base. You are getting a lot of Nick Madrigal at the end of games for defensive replacement. So A very interesting thing, and certainly something we're watching as we watch Cubs baseball as we work through the first few weeks on the season. Now, one of the big problems with the Cubs early on, not that they have any control over injuries, but has been injuries. You have Justin Steele, who got hurt the very first night of the season down in Texas, trying to field a little dribbler up the first base line. He is on the 15-day IL, although you know, he's going to be out longer than that 15. Jameson Taillon has not pitched yet this season after tweaking himself there in the spring. He should be back sooner rather than later, and we certainly hope to see some of Taillon soon. But you also had Julian Merriweather go on the IL with a rib injury over the last week. So we want to figure that out. We want to talk about pitching, but before we do that, let's get out to the phone lines. Again, 312-644-6767. Sean is on. First up from Oswego, talking Cubs. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Espo. Big fan. Just heard your thoughts on Morrell, and I also heard Council's thoughts as well. You know, 24 years old, Morrell, athlete, and I don't know if it's a fair comparison with Eloy, because you know, having watched Morrell play over the last week or so into the season, he's made some pretty athletic plays. And so the thing that I want to say about Morrell is that his footwork, when it's right, he's good. And when you when he takes the time, when he takes that 1-2 and then fires the ball across the infield, it's quite a bit different than when he has to think about it. And third base is a reaction play. I think he's got the athleticism. I do think that he can stick at third base. And so that's just my thought. I'll, like I said, big fan. I'll hang up and let hear your thoughts.
Sean, appreciate that, and thanks for the kind words. It's funny, too, because I coach, you know, I have a 12-year-old, my youngest, and we play Little League Baseball, and he plays on travel baseball, and we coach him. And one of the things, and it's literally exactly what you just said, Sean, set your feet, get yourself ready to throw. Don't just fling it over there. And we've seen it, and I know, and I'm making light of it because we're talking about it, but we've seen it during the season with Christopher Morrell. Well, it's like, well, he's absolutely not setting his, you know, he's not ready to throw. He didn't put himself in a position to throw the ball. But I agree with you, Sean. When he does it as he should, it can look really good. The problem is, and I think we talked about this during spring training on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine and I, Bruce, by the way, will join us here at the bottom of the hour, is that do you really want to be trying this out, essentially, at the major league level with a team that is contending for a playoff spot? And that, to me, is, and that's where Council really has his work cut out for it, for him, because he was hired, and he's the highest paid manager in baseball. He was hired to help push this team over the hump, right? They just missed the playoffs last year. They got Cody Bellinger back. They made some moves in free agency. So this is a team that is supposed to contend for a playoff spot. And they're the favorites. If you look at Vegas, if you go for those things on the gambling side, Vegas has them as favorites in the division. And I get it, right? The Cubs, I think, are the deepest team. They have the best farm system. They brought back Bellinger. You had the Michael Busch trade. Seiya Suzuki is playing at an all-star level. We have Morrell, who we're talking about, right? That is a guy that, I mean, if he hits 35 home runs this year, I'm not surprised at all. Are you? I mean, I think Morrell is a guy that, at this point, you know he's going to hit for power. That's my opinion anyway. 312-644-6767 is the number. A texter here from the 630 says, Morrell is a second baseman. His fielding percentage at second is close to that of the Gold Glove winners. I'll have to check that. He will get good at third base. Be patient or trade him for somebody who needs a second baseman. Listen, I don't want to trade Morrell at all. I love his bat in the middle of this lineup. The question is, can he adapt at third base? Because that is a position, and I'm not trying to pick on Nick Madrigal, and I'm not trying to pick on Patrick Wisdom. But you don't have a third baseman right now, right? There's no Aramis Ramirez over there. There's no Ron Santo to go way back over there. You know, even our old pal, the Penguin, Ron Say, you don't have one of those over there either. You have a bunch of guys. And so I think that's why Christopher Morel is being given a chance to get over there and to try to steady that position. I mean, think of how wonderful it'll be, and it is certainly possible that Christopher Morel settles in at third. Then, boy, you do have a really good third baseman, don't you? And Alex Kuhn, our producer, who is working with us this evening, leading us into Cubs-Mariners baseball, Alex, if Morel can settle in to that position, I think that really changes the way that a lot of people will look at this team.
It completely changes it, Espo. And something that the caller brought up and you brought up as well is it's not for a lack of athleticism for Christopher Morel. Like he brought up the Eloy Jimenez comparison. And when you looked at Eloy, you're like, it doesn't cover enough ground in the outfield. You didn't think he was ever going to be a good fielder. And I'm not saying that Morel can become a gold glove caliber third baseman, but as has been pointed out, it's not for a lack of athleticism, it's a lack of polish. And when Council, it's wild for me to look at the tightrope that Council is walking here, because he has not said, oh no, we're just going to bring a lot of our prospects up and let them learn at the major league level. Look what he's done with PCA. He's still in AAA, and he decided he needs to go get more at-bats. And but he's been the one pushing the charge for Morel to play third base and to leave him at third base. But then you ask him, do you ever think about leaving him in there a little bit longer? Do you ever question yourself about taking him out in the sixth inning? And the answer to that when Spiegs asked him that was, no, not really.
Yeah. No, you can't. I mean, listen, at this point, and like I said, that is the balancing act. That is the you know, the tightrope act that Craig Council has to work, right? At some point, and he surely knows what his metrics say, he certainly knows what the coaching staff thinks in terms of when to get Morel out of there. And I'm sure they have this, you know, in games that they lead, you know, going forward, you look at the projected hitters for each of the, you know, the last three innings, and I'm sure they know right when they want to get him out of there because of the likelihood of a ball getting hit to third base. Now, you can't always predict that, of course. The metrics don't always work out that way. But you have a pretty good idea of when is the time to get your defensive replacement in there. And there was a game, and I want to say it was last Sunday against LA, but don't quote me on that. It might have been Saturday. It was last weekend when Madrigal came in and did make a wonderful play at third base. Now, in the end, they did not get that runner out, but it was not because of Madrigal. But the defensive replacement in that situation actually worked as it was intended. With Nick Madrigal going in there. And I will say this, as Madrigal last year is a guy who moved to third, as a guy who had played second. Madrigal, to me, played a really nice third base last year. Again, with not a lot of training. Now, he was a lifetime infielder, a lifelong infielder, and he was a very high draft pick at second base, but not a guy who had played third base in the major leagues, right? So it can certainly be done, and Nick Madrigal showed that last year. Quick reminder here, join the Score and Budweiser Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's Tavern, Navy Pier. It's the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Parkins and Spiegel will be there broadcasting live from 4 to 7 with actor and comedian Jason Alexander leading the toast at 5:30. I'm sure some Seinfeld and Costanza references will be abounding there at Harry Carey's. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Again, that's Thursday, May 2nd at Harry Carey's on Navy Pier. Check it out. That sounds like fun. We might have to go down for that one. Mike Esposito here with you until Cubs baseball at 8:05. Zach Zaidman will have your pregame show. We're going to take a quick timeout, and we want to remind you that Bruce Levine will be jumping on with us around 7:30. We're going to talk Cubs. We're going to ask him baseball questions. We're going to ask him about the Cubs bullpen. The Cubs made some roster moves today. We will fill you in on those ahead of their game with the Mariners tonight. We'll do that when we return right here on Chicago Sports Radio 6.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
70 The Score. Mike Esposito back with you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I want to remind you that the only local broadcast of tonight's Cubs game against the Mariners is right here on The Score. Pre-game begins from Seattle at 8:05. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call with Zach on the pregame. First pitch at 8:40. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app, as I often do. Love listening to Pat and Ron and Zach. And tonight it's Jordan Wicks against the Seattle Mariners. Time now to hop out to the Score hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Our friend and Score baseball insider Bruce Levine joins us. And Bruce, appreciate your time this evening and a tough three-game set in San Diego. That first one certainly stung a game that you had an eight-run lead and kind of fell apart there at the end.
Yeah, you know, the bullpen has just been overtaxed. And, you know, going into that series and still going into this series, the Cubs remain the only team in baseball that the bullpen has thrown more innings than the starting pitching, Mike. So with that in mind, you know, it's just, you know, tough. I mean, you had Hendricks the other night throw an extra inning plus, but he should have really been out after four innings because he'd already given up four runs. He took one for the team and one, you know, but the reality is the starting pitching, either it's been weather or it's been not good enough, but it just hasn't gotten them that far. That said, they don't have a horrible record. They're pretty good. There's a lot of positive signs about the team. If they can get Tyone back here in the next 10 days or so, and you get Steele back, hopefully the first week of May, around there, I think, you know, they're going to be in good shape. But, you know, they got to hold on right now. It's a game of attrition when it comes to the bullpen.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the guys historically that has given you exactly what you're talking about, eaten those innings and been Mr. Consistency, and you mentioned him, unfortunately, his first three starts have not been that, is Kyle Hendricks. And I know we've talked a lot on the station and a lot of our listeners, callers, wondering if we're starting to see the decline of Kyle Hendricks, and I want to get your thoughts on that because he's a guy that we've seen twirl some gems and even last year, some gems. I mean, so you can't say this was, you know, 5-10 years ago. This is a guy who last year pitched some absolute gems. What do you see when you see Kyle?
Just a lack of command, Mike. He's just not being able to hit the points that he, look, Kyle's always been an expert at the four quadrants of the strike zone. Could pinpoint his pitches. He never threw more than, you know, 89, 90 miles an hour. So it wasn't about the fastball. It was always about the changeup, keeping the hitters off balance with breaking stuff and pinpointing things. As good as anybody, you know, that ever, you know, pitched when it means all you had is 80, 88, 89, some years 87, 88. The velocity never mattered because his command of his pitches were so precise, his knowledge of the hitters and what they swing at and what they don't, and just working with his catchers, just off the chart. And nobody is more impressed by the type of person that Kyle Hendricks is on top of that than I am. I mean, you couldn't find a better person in the game of baseball. So everyone's rooting for him, but you know, for people to be guessing, you know, three starts in, is this the beginning of the end? You know, it's fair. He's going to be 35 years old in August. And he's just logged an awful lot of innings. You know, there's attrition, there's wear and tear. Believe me, when it comes to preparation and strength and conditioning and everything else, he's at the top, which is the scary part, Mike, because he was kind of at a loss himself after this start yesterday. And mm-hmm. you rarely see him. He always seems positive that he knows what to do better and will be able to do it the next start. I think this is the first time in, I don't know, maybe ever, where he's a little bit stumped about where he's at.
Yeah, you definitely heard the frustration out of Kyle yesterday, Bruce, and it's a very good point that we hope resolves itself with Kyle in the next time out. Jordan Wicks on the hill tonight. He is pitching for the Cubs in Seattle. And to your point, four innings in his first start, 4 2/3 in his second. And it's not that there was not a lot of pitches, because he threw 85 pitches and then 100 pitches in those two starts. So here's a guy that, you know, good stuff, and he certainly has shown the capability to get major league batters out. But the pitch counts get up there, and in both cases, that they did win the game against Texas that he started, despite him giving up five runs, only two of them earned, though. But they fell in that game to the Dodgers last Saturday.
Well, Mike, if you're complaining about starters not going the innings, it's not just in Chicago. It's not on the north side. I mean, last year, I think it was tied for third lowest among starter innings in Major League history with 5.1. I would doubt that we're even at that right now, 12, 13 games in the Major League season for where pitchers are at. It's probably right around 5 or a little less. Like I said, with the Cubs, it's less for sure, because you have the bullpen throwing more innings than the starters. So it's a different game to get used to. It really is. The question always is, do you have enough bullpen help? Do you have enough bullpen in your minor leagues to continue to be able to compete during the year if your starting pitchers do not give you enough innings? And, I mean, bullpen games started to become popular back in the middle 70s with the Big Red Machine. People who are alive back then, or younger people who study it, will remember those two great, Big Red Machine teams ran by Sparky Anderson. And he had this awesome bullpen, guys. His starters were good. There were some of them were really good. But he wasn't afraid to go in the fifth or sixth inning, sixth most of the time, and go with the bullpen the rest of the way. He had power arms out there, left and right side. And so that kind of became a little bit fashionable, more fashionable, you know. And then you move to the 80s, and you start getting away from pitchers, four-man rotations to five-man rotations. Now we've gotten to the point where it used to be, you know, get to the seventh inning for me, and once in a while throw through the seventh. Now it's, you know, people are saying, hey, can you get me into the sixth inning, and can you give me 5 1/3 or 5 2/3? That's going to be enough. So it's much more difficult these days, Mike, to be able to win a game knowing that instead of using three pitchers, you're using four or five to try to win a game.
Bruce, I know I'm going to sound like an old fart when I say this, and I also know that you agree with me. It sounds completely weird to me as somebody who's loved baseball since I was a little kid that, you know, it used to be, as you said, you know, four-man rotations, but it used to be you wanted to get to 300 innings, and that was an actual hard goal. And then it was all of a sudden 250, and then it was 200 innings. Now it's, I'm hearing, I just want to get to 180, 180 innings, meaning 5 times, 33, something, whatever the math is, right? But they're not even asking the starters, and that's, I've heard Justin Verlander talk about this in interviews, where he's talking about pitchers not even really being coached to or prepared to go longer than that 5 or 6 innings. They're not even being asked or taught that, and their bodies are not used to that, and they're not used to pitching in that style anymore.
Well, I mean, who even wants to run their pitchers to 100 pitches anymore?
Right.
I mean, they get them out because they're 80 to 90 or 100 after 4, maybe in the fifth. But, Mike, you know, the idea that the other day I was listening to the Cubs and Padres, and Jim Deshaies was talking about whether, whether or not Dylan Cease was going to come out for another inning. He was at 98 pitches. And I said, no way. It wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, no, and I mean, the manager, I remember, and I mean, you have to go back, I guess this would be 20 years ago, when Dusty Baker was catching a lot of flack from Cubs fans for leaving, in this case, I believe it was Mark Pryor out. I want to say he threw something like 118, 120 pitches in this game, and Dusty was catching a lot of heat for that. And I don't remember the specific number of pitches, but the point remains, right? I mean, that's obviously well over 100 pitches, whereas now in the situation you just described, I would have been equally shocked if a guy like Dylan Cease goes out at 98. I mean, that's almost a complete no-no for a manager to send a pitcher back out at that pitch level.
The guy's going to throw at least 120, even if he's on the money, you know, the next inning. So it's just a different game to get used to. And like you said, old farts like us, a little difficult once in a while. It's still a great game. I mean, we still see great athletes out there doing great things, great pitching. A lot of great pitching comes from the bullpen now, not from the rotation.
Talking to Bruce Levine on 670 The Score. He's on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow morning with David Haugh, and we'll get the guest list for that show as we let Bruce go. But Bruce, the Cubs bringing Keegan Thompson back, a guy we saw have some really nice moments several seasons ago, a bit of up and down last year, but Keegan will work out of that bullpen for exactly the reason you said. This is a guy that has given them good innings out of that bullpen.
Yeah, and again, it's a fresh arm coming up from AAA. And Keegan, as you remember, God, it's 3 years ago or now. I guess it's 3 years ago in 22. He was one of the top bullpen pitchers in the game at the beginning of that year. I mean, he was just lights out. And somehow along the line, you know, he had a few injuries here and there. Really hasn't been the same guy, but he's been pitching well at AAA, and they're hoping they get some innings help here. And you know, again, can he be the pitcher that he was at one time? Hopefully so. They need help. I think what Cub fans can look forward to, and David Haugh and I will talk a little bit more in Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow about this, is you know, will they be pressed to put Ben Brown in the bullpen when they get guys like Tyone and they get Steele back? You know, even if he starts well and he continues to start well, will they be thinking they need that power arm in the bullpen, the young arm, to bring in and out? That's going to be the decision that the front office and council are going to have to make here. I mean, the idea all along has been to try to give Ben Brown and Cade Horton, the number one pitcher in their minor league system, enough starts at AAA and get them ready to be a part of that rotation when they come up in June or July. Who are they replacing? Nobody in particular. I mean, again, attrition, injury, the fact that you don't perform well, all those things usually lead to changes in a rotation. You're going to need probably 8 or 9 starting pitchers at some point for some teams this year. It's not ideal. Not everybody has good ones. I think the Cubs feel that they have a deep enough farm system right now to rely on some of these young guys.
Absolutely. No, it's funny, as you're sitting there saying, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I couldn't tell you the last time a team made it through a season with just 5 starters. I mean, I know it's happened, but it certainly has been a while. And I mean, the Cubs found out on opening day when Justin Steele got hurt that it wasn't going to be this season for them either. But talking about Brown, and I'm glad you brought him up, because after that shaky outing in Texas, when he gave up 6 earned runs in an inning and 2/3, he has looked really impressive against both the Rockies and then again at San Diego. And in a year where you're looking for innings and you're looking for starting pitching depth, here's a guy. And we've heard about him. We know he's one of their better prospects, but here's a guy showing it in his 2 of his first 3 outings.
Yeah, you know, a good friend of mine who's a scout with the Phillies, I was talking to him tonight about Brown, who came from the Phillies in that trade for David Robertson 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Said, you know, we really loved him in Philadelphia. We didn't want to use him, trade him, but we had a little bit of starting pitching depth, and we wanted Robertson for the stretch run. But he said about Brown, he said, I think he's going to be better in the bullpen. He said, only because right now he's a two-pitch guy. You know, it's a power fastball, and it's a power slider. Can he pick up a third pitch? Does he need it? I think conventional wisdom tells you you need three pitches in the major leagues to be successful, but he does have two very good plus pitches, Mike. So with that in mind, we'll see how it shakes out. But again, the idea that here's the thing: if you're a Cub fan, you should feel really good about this. Jordan Wicks, okay, Javier Assad. You're talking about now Ben Brown. You're looking at other young pitchers like Cade Horton. They're starting to come out of the system. And yes, Brown was traded for from the Phillies, but he's been being developed for the last year and a half now in the Cub minor league system. This is a great sign, and this is what Cubs want to do to be able to sustain being able to be competitive and not have to spend $300 million a year on a payroll, okay? They won't be afraid to spend in the top five, seven teams, but they want sustainability through a robust farm system. And I think, you know, the Cubs under Jed Hoyer has a chance to continue to do that. They've been really striving toward this since 21 when they traded the superstars away. And I think that they're getting close here. But that is, to me, that's, you know, you have your closer coming through the system. You have a young catcher now in Amaya coming through the system. You hopefully have more outfielders coming through the system. They seem to be strong in outfield depth. So, you know, the proof is going to be in the pudding, Mike. I'm a guy that wants to see him there doing it, but I think the Cubs are on the right track, and I think instead of looking for the trade deadline for help if they need it for the playoffs, they might just have that in their minor league system.
I actually agree with you, Bruce, and it's good to see that farm system paying off. What have you and David coming up on Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow morning?
Well, tomorrow morning, the pitching coach of the Chicago White Sox, Ethan Katz, will be joining us at 9:45. At 10:30, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs, Carter Hawkins, will be joining us. Your phone calls always at the usual number. Play a little chin music. You know it better than I do, Mike. Have a great night. Thanks for having me on, and enjoy the Cub game tonight.
My pleasure, Bruce, and we'll look forward to Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow morning with you and David. And as we just found out, Ethan Katz, White Sox pitching coach, and Carter Hawkins, the Cubs GM, a lineup of heavy hitters, which is no surprise with Bruce getting those guests on the show each and every Saturday morning. 9 to 11, Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce and David will have that for you tomorrow morning. We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to bring back some sound on Ben Brown. We were just talking about the Cubs rookie pitcher with Bruce. We want to talk about him and listen to what Craig Counsell had to say about him earlier, and we'll do that when we return. Cubs baseball at 8:05. Zach's pregame will get you going. Jordan Wicks against the Mariners tonight. 8:40 is the first pitch with Pat and Ron right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. One more segment with me, Mike Esposito, filling in tonight for Mark Grody. And Cubs baseball will come your way momentarily. 8:05 for the pregame with Zach Zaidman. Cubs and Mariners, 8:40 for the first pitch with Pat and Ron. We'll get you ready for all the action as the Cubs continue their West Coast swing. We learned something new, as we often do when Bruce Levine hops on to talk baseball. I did not realize until Bruce brought it up that the Cubs have more innings pitched in relief this year than they do from their starters, which, after you think about it, makes sense. Steele got hurt in the first game. Hendricks has been ineffective. Imanaga's been great, but his second start was shortened by rain. Tyone is hurt. Wicks hasn't lasted five in either of his starts. So the bullpen has really had to pick up the slack for the Cubs this year. And one of the guys doing it, although you could say that it's not necessarily relief pitching if you act as a second pitcher in a game where a reliever starts and pitches for just an inning, as Ben Brown has. But hey, Ben Brown has pitched two games in relief. He pitched the first game in Texas on the 30th, gave up six earned runs in an inning and two-thirds. Certainly not the auspicious debut of the season that he was looking for. But he has been lights out since then. He gave up one run on three hits in four innings against the Rockies, and he gave up no runs on three hits in 4 2/3 innings against the Padres a few days ago. And he has certainly been one of the bright spots. We talked about it with Bruce. He was one of the prospects, one of the better prospects down in the farm. He came over from Philly in the David Robertson trade. That was Philly going for it for relief pitcher, and the Cubs get Ben Brown. And Ben Brown has proven to be one of those really effective young arms. Now, Craig Counsell was on with Parkins and Spiegel earlier today on the Score. Counsell talking about how Brown has looked to start the season.
Yeah, I think we've been a little fortunate there in just kind of the nature of what we needed from Ben. But I know, you know, look, your first major league experience as a pitcher is daunting. And in some ways that getting it out of the way, like in just a little easier scenario is just helpful. I believe that. And so we were able to get him, you know, as a relief appearance where we were down. And it didn't go well, but I think he got it out of the way. And from there, he's kind of gotten onto more of a schedule, which he's accustomed to. And he's pitched super, super well. And he's been a big deal. I mean, he's, you know, when we talk about it, he's replaced Justin Steele's innings, and he's done a really darn good job with those innings. So that's been a really pleasant surprise and really helpful. And important, his development the first 2 weeks has been really important.
Yeah, now there's Craig Counsell. Now, I mentioned that Brown came in after the opener. Luke Little pitched against Colorado. Little lasted an inning. It was one of the freezing cold games against the Rockies. Brown came in and pitched very well. But does he need the opener? And that's where, you know, Counsell was asked by the guys. It was actually Spiegel and Anthony Herron this afternoon on the Parkins and Spiegel show. But the guys asking Craig Counsell, does Brown need that opener or does he just get starts?
I mean, I think we'll look at it. I think it's really uncertain. It's certain lineups and you always kind of just look at it. But obviously one of the things too, is we're trying to get Ben stretched out a little more that he just wasn't completely stretched out coming on, and we still are working on that. So, you know, those are things that we have to consider but it makes sense just to look at it and then decide what the best is for the Cubs and what's the best for Ben.
Yeah, and Ben has certainly looked good the last two times out in the cold against the Rockies with no shirt under his uniform. For whatever reason, I remember that. He just had the jersey on, as did Luke Little, for what that's worth. And then in San Diego, pitching almost five innings, 4 2/3, giving up three hits, five strikeouts in each of those two outings. Looks the part, pitched well, and really has been one of the Cubs' bright spots here in the early going, and they need it. You know, we talked about it with Bruce. We've talked about it. We've seen it across baseball. The injuries to pitchers, all you have to do is look at the Cubs roster and look at the injuries. Justin Steele, first game out. Jameson Taillon hasn't even pitched in the majors yet this year because he got hurt in spring training. Julian Merriweather to the injured list with that rib injury. We've seen it. Jed Hoyer talked about it in spring training. With us on Inside the Clubhouse, that, you know, they know they need depth. They want to have, you know, seven or eight starters, and they want to have, you know, 12 or 14 relievers. They know they're going to cycle through guys throughout the season. They know there's going to be injuries. They know there's going to be wear and tear, pitchers who need, you know, to get put on the injured list for whatever reason. So that is something where a guy like Ben Brown, who you weren't necessarily counting on, and you heard Counsell reference that, right? They didn't know Justin Steele was going to get hurt in the first game of the season. Of course not. How could you know that? But they had to fill those innings, and Justin Steele was an innings eater for the Cubs last year, and he was your number one opening day starter, right? You lose him on opening day. And say what you will about his performance on opening day, but Ben Brown has come on over the last two outings for him and has given the Cubs exactly that. He has eaten some of those innings, maybe not as many as Steele, but, you know, five here and five there is certainly better than some of the efforts we've seen from other guys trying to fill in for Steele. So it'll be very interesting to see as the season progresses and certainly as guys get healthy. You heard Bruce say Taillon is hopefully a few weeks away. Steele should be another few weeks after that, but as the Cubs get healthy, what do they end up doing with guys like Brown? I'm sure there'll be some back and forth to the minor leagues. For some guys, I'm not saying for Brown, but you have guys, Yency Almonte, they optioned Quast today. They brought Keegan Thompson up. If you're just joining us, Keegan Thompson will be back in that Cubs bullpen for the series in Seattle this weekend because they need fresh arms. They've thrown a ton of innings, and they're going to need those fresh arms to get in there and be able to help the Cubs as they go forward. Jordan Wicks, though, is pitching tonight for the Cubs. The left-hander has not lasted five innings in either of his two starts, although you wouldn't necessarily call them ineffective starts, his first two of the season, but he hasn't gone five. He's thrown a lot of pitches. We'll see if he can control that and improve that as he takes on the Mariners tonight. Our thanks to Bruce Levine, our guest on the show for the last hour. Our thanks to Alex Kuhn for doing a fantastic job producing over the last 2 hours. And thanks to you for listening and for texting us and for calling. We appreciate it. We hope you'll stick around for Cubs baseball. Zach Zaidman will have your pregame at 8:05. Pat and Rom, the first pitch at 8:40. And see if the Cubs can get another win this evening. I'm Mike Esposito. It's been a pleasure talking Cubs baseball with you tonight. Again, 8:05 for Zach's pregame. Stick around right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 670 The Score. One more segment with me, Mike Esposito, filling in tonight for Mark Grody, and Cubs baseball will come your way momentarily. 8:05 for the pregame with Zach Zaidman, Cubs and Mariners, 8:40 for the first pitch with Pat and Ron. We'll get you ready for all the action as the Cubs continue their West Coast swing. We learned something new, as we often do when Bruce Levine hops on to talk baseball. I did not realize until Bruce brought it up that the Cubs have more innings pitched in relief this year than they do from their starters, which, after you think about it, makes sense. Steele got hurt in the first game. Hendricks has been ineffective. Imanaga's been great, but his second start was shortened by rain. Tyone is hurt. Wicks hasn't lasted five in either of his starts. So the bullpen has really had to pick up the slack for the Cubs this year. And one of the guys doing it, although you could say that it's not necessarily relief pitching if you act as a second pitcher in a game where a reliever starts and pitches for just an inning, as Ben Brown has. But hey, Ben Brown has pitched two games in relief. He pitched the first game in Texas on the 30th, gave up six earned runs in an inning and two-thirds. Certainly not the auspicious debut of the season that he was looking for, but he has been lights out since then. He gave up one run on three hits in four innings against the Rockies, and he gave up no runs on three hits in four and two-thirds innings against the Padres a few days ago. And he has certainly been one of the bright spots. We talked about it with Bruce. He was one of the prospects, one of the better prospects down in the farm. He came over from Philly in the David Robertson trade. That was Philly going for it for relief pitcher, and the Cubs get Ben Brown. And Ben Brown has proven to be one of those really effective young arms. Now, Craig Counsell was on with Parkins and Spiegel earlier today. On The Score, Counsell talking about how Brown has looked to start the season.
Yeah, I think we've been a little fortunate there in just kind of the nature of what we needed from Ben. But I know, look, your first major league experience as a pitcher is daunting. And in some ways that getting it out of the way, like in just a little easier scenario is just helpful. I believe that. And so we were able to get him, you know, as a relief appearance where we were down. And it didn't go well, but I think he got it out of the way. And from there, he's kind of gotten onto more of a schedule, which he's accustomed to. And he's pitched super, super well. And he's been a big deal. I mean, he's, you know, when we talk about it, he's replaced Justin Steele's innings, and he's done a really darn good job with those innings. So that's been a really pleasant surprise and really helpful and important. His development the first 2 weeks has been really important.
Yeah. Now, as Craig Counsell, I mentioned that Brown came in after the opener. Luke Little pitched against Colorado. Little lasted an inning. It was one of the freezing cold games against the Rockies. Brown came in and pitched very well. But does he need the opener? And that's where, you know, Counsell was asked by the guys. It was actually Spiegel and Anthony Herron this afternoon on the Parkinson Spiegel show. But the guys asking Craig Counsell, does Brown need that opener or does he just get starts?
I mean, I think we'll look at it. I think it's really uncertain. It's certain lineups, and you always kind of just look at it. But obviously, one of the things, too, is we're trying to get Ben stretched out a little more, that he just wasn't completely stretched out coming on, and we still are working on that. So, those are things that we have to consider. But it makes sense just to look at it and then decide what the best is for the Cubs and what's the best for Ben.
Yeah, and Ben has certainly looked good the last two times out in the cold against the Rockies with no shirt under his uniform. For whatever reason, I remember that. He just had the jersey on, as did Luke Little, for what that's worth. And then in San Diego, pitching almost five innings, 4 2/3, giving up three hits, five strikeouts in each of those two outings. Looks the part, pitched well, and really has been one of the Cubs' bright spots here in the early going, and they need it. You know, we talked about it with Bruce. We've talked about it. We've seen it across baseball. The injuries to pitchers, all you have to do is look at the Cubs roster and look at the injuries. Justin Steele, first game out. Jameson Taillon hasn't even pitched in the majors yet this year because he got hurt in spring training. Julian Merriweather to the injured list with that rib injury. We've seen it. Jed Hoyer talked about it in spring training. With us on Inside the Clubhouse, that, you know, they know they need depth. They want to have, you know, seven or eight starters, and they want to have, you know, 12 or 14 relievers. They know they're going to cycle through guys throughout the season. They know there's going to be injuries. They know there's going to be wear and tear, pitchers who need, you know, to get put on the injured list for whatever reason. So that is something where a guy like Ben Brown, who you weren't necessarily counting on, and you heard Counsell reference that, right? They didn't know Justin Steele was going to get hurt in the first game of the season. Of course not. How could you know that? But they had to fill those innings, and Justin Steele was an innings eater for the Cubs last year, and he was your number one opening day starter, right? You lose him on opening day. And say what you will about his performance on opening day, but Ben Brown has come on over the last two outings for him and has given the Cubs exactly that. He has eaten some of those innings, maybe not as many as Steele, but, you know, five here and five there is certainly better than some of the efforts we've seen from other guys trying to fill in for Steele. So it'll be very interesting to see as the season progresses, and certainly as guys get healthy. You heard Bruce say Taillon is hopefully a few weeks away. Steele should be another few weeks after that, but as the Cubs get healthy, what do they end up doing with guys like Brown? I'm sure there'll be some back and forth to the minor leagues for some guys. I'm not saying for Brown, but you have guys, Yency Almonte, they optioned Quast today. They brought Keegan Thompson up. If you're just joining us, Keegan Thompson will be back in that Cubs bullpen to the series in Seattle this weekend because they need fresh arms. They've thrown a ton of innings. And they're going to need those fresh arms to get in there and be able to help the Cubs as they go forward. Jordan Wicks, though, is pitching tonight for the Cubs. The left-hander has not lasted five innings in either of his two starts, although you wouldn't necessarily call them ineffective starts, his first two of the season. But he hasn't gone five. He's thrown a lot of pitches. We'll see if he can control that and improve that as he takes on the Mariners tonight. Our thanks to Bruce Levine, our guest on the show for the last hour. Our thanks to Alex Kuhn for doing a fantastic job producing over the last 2 hours. And thanks to you for listening and for texting us and for calling. We appreciate it. We hope you'll stick around for Cubs baseball. Zach Zaidman will have your pregame at 8:05. Pat and Rom, the first pitch at 8:40. And see if the Cubs can get another win this evening. I'm Mike Esposito. It's been a pleasure talking Cubs baseball with you tonight. Again, 8:05 for Zach's pregame. Stick around right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.